Time now for Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 WYTS with Dr. Brian Kivitko. Call 821-1230. That's 821-1230 to discuss your dental issues. Now here's Dr. Kivitko on Talk 1230 WYTS.
Talk 1230 WYTS. Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kivitko. Also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry but were too numb to ask. Hello, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kivitko. I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in this morning on this glorious summer day. Bright sunshine out there in Columbus here. Today's topic is going to be dental considerations for individuals who happen to have Down syndrome. And later on, after we get through some of the, housekeeping, we have a guest with us today, which I'll introduce here soon. Before I do that, though, I want to do a couple things. One is to remind everyone that we are having a golf outing, the second annual Dr. Kivitko golf outing, and we are doing it to raise money for the benefit of the Down Syndrome Association of Central Ohio. It's at the Broadview Golf Course, 5694 Headley Mill Road, Southwest in Pataskala. It will be held at 8 o'clock in the morning, August 23rd. That happens to be a Saturday. Four players per team, $140 per team. Includes golf, cart, lunch, and a couple drink tickets. Now, if you're not a great golfer, that's okay, because I'm not either. And we're really doing this to have fun and raise some money. And if you only have a couple of you, feel free to still give us a call, and we'll try to pair you up with a couple others. To do this, to register for this, you would call 262-9588. And you can speak to any one of my staff members who answers the phone for you. The other thing I'd like to let people know about, and that is that I'm honored to be included in an episode of Showcase Columbus with Gail Hogan. It will air June 11th on WUAB, Time Warner Channel 15, at 7:30 p.m. So if you would like to tune in and put a face to the voice, that would be a time to do it. All right, and then the other thing I'm going to do, and this is giving out the Dr. Kivitko question of the day, and this question, hopefully you will learn the answer to as our show progresses, because this question is about individuals who happen to have Down syndrome, and what it is this. Studies have reported an incidence of periodontal disease in individuals with Down syndrome to be between what percent and what percent? Now, I know that that's a little bit tricky because it's not an exact number, but there's a slight range there of 5 or 6%. So if you call in your guess or email me with your guess and you're close, be happy to get your name out on the air for that. You can call your guesses in to 821-1230. You can also call the show with questions as well to that same number. Or you can send us an email with either a question or a guess to our question of the day to Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 at yahoo.com. And we'll get them either way. And we'll give people's guesses and obviously questions later on in the show. All right, so now it is time to get on with our topic, which is dental considerations for people who happen to have Down syndrome. And our guest today on the phone with us is Jennifer Truby. Jennifer is married and the mother of three children. She had Michelle, age 18, Brian, age 15, and Julia, age 13. Julia was born with Down syndrome. Since Julia's birth, Jennifer has been active in the Down syndrome movement, first as a new parent mentor in both Michigan and Ohio. We won't hold the Michigan part against you, Jennifer. 10 years ago, the Truby family moved to Columbus, and Jennifer became involved with the Down Syndrome Association of Central Ohio, where initially she volunteered her time answering the office phone messages and for 9 years has served on the board of directors. She served as the chairman of the board for the past 4 years and has just begun her final two-year term, and she has continued to counsel with new parents. So Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Really appreciate you getting up on a nice Sunday morning like this and being with us.
Well, it's a grand day.
It sure is. It sure is. Now, Jennifer, you probably are, I think I've already told you off the air, but let me just tell our listeners how I have become so enamored with the Down syndrome movement, I guess you will, if you will call it.
It's a great story. story.
Yeah, and I have, well, first of all, I don't think you even know this. I have a mentally challenged brother who's a few years younger than I, and who was in special education courses his entire high school career. So I am then aware and have lived with someone who has that challenge. And I know that Down syndrome or individuals that have Down syndrome oftentimes have the a little bit of a delayed learning, certainly delayed speech as far as being able to verbalize thought at an early age. And so I have a patient. Her name is Libby. And I saw her sister, I think, 2 days ago, and I told her we were going to be talking a little about Libby to make sure it was okay, and she assured me that it is. Anyway, Libby is probably 47. Gee, Libby, if you're listening, I hope I'm not getting your age wrong, but she's an adult. And but as you know, even though Down's individuals who happen to have Down syndrome grow into adulthood, their mental state tends to stay more childlike. Very, very happy people, and we just love Libby to death, and we decided a couple of years ago, I think three, to form a group here at my office called Libby's Tooth Buds. And so we go to the Buddy Walk each year, and we support Libby, and we try to raise money, and I think that more maybe ought to be done for individuals who happen to have Down syndrome once they become adults, because there are lots of programs for children. But and maybe I'm wrong, maybe you can correct me, but it doesn't seem like there's quite as much for the adult population. And I'm going to... Go ahead.
No, go. Well, I was just going to address that. We are working very hard with our organization to make that change. And yes, indeed, it's very easy to support the new parents and the young children just to get them acclimated and started down their path. But once individuals hit adulthood, it's very important that we help them to begin their adulthood in securing a job, in having a productive life, and to have social avenues in which we all share as adults.
Yeah, you know, that social avenue just reminded me of... a story. My wife and I have season's tickets to the Worthington Kilbourne football games.
Oh.
And once a week, I think it is, and maybe I'm wrong about that. I think it might be maybe every other Friday or something. There's a group within the Worthington schools where they take the special ed group to as a group to a function. And this particular evening, they had brought the entire group to a football game, and they happened to sit right in the row in front of us.
Well, I bet you had a great time.
I had more time than that.
And I probably should correct you. I don't believe it's probably from the Worthington School District. It's the Worthington Recreation Organization that provides that kind of entertainment and social opportunities for individuals with Down syndrome. And it's just not for individuals who live in Worthington. We have many adults with disabilities who do come from the Columbus area and are involved with that group.
Oh, okay. And you're right. I did have a wonderful time. It was the most fun I'd ever had at a high school football game. And to be honest, I don't really even remember the game all that well. I was just enamored by watching the interaction amongst the members of the group, watching them share the couple sets of pom-poms that they had, and just watching them come to life. So, yeah, it's really, really neat. And so we kind of took a liking to Libby, and she told me that I was her favorite person. But after about a year, she came back, and she now has a boyfriend that she met at her job. And I'm now her second favorite, she told me. So, but anyway, for the benefit of our listeners, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the dental considerations, but and I know you have a story to tell, but for the benefit of our listeners, could you please tell us, what is Down syndrome?
Well, first and foremost, I would like your listeners to know that people with Down syndrome are first and foremost human beings, and but however, they do have recognizable physical characteristics and limited intellectual endowments due to the presence of an extra chromosome on the 21st pair. And I will tell you that in terms of estimated births, A Down syndrome birth occurs in one out of about 733. There are probably, I would guess, about 350,000 individuals who have Down syndrome in the United States today. And if we want to center it down to Central Ohio, we have between 3 and 4 live births of individuals who have Down syndrome every month in Central Ohio.
Okay. Now, those numbers you gave are both up, by the way, because about, what would they be, about a decade or two ago, there were only 250,000 people in the U.S.
And that's correct.
It was one out of every 800 births. Now it's one out of every 734, so the numbers are increasing.
That's correct. And surprisingly so, due to the fact that now they're encouraging genetic testing of all women, regardless of age, one of our major concerns is that those women who are carrying children or babies with Down syndrome may not have the life that we would hope that they would have. And so we're a bit concerned about that.
The life that you think, I'm sorry, what do you mean by that?
Well, with genetic testing available for every woman, our concern is that there will be more abortions.
Oh, okay. I see.
And the concern is that even though there may be a chance that the child has Down.
I think we might have lost her. Did we just lose Jennifer, are you there? Okay, we will get Jennifer back, but while we're trying to do that, I just wanted you to know that when Jennifer was talking about, the abortions women may be aborting if they knew that they were going to have a child with Down syndrome, my first thought was, how in the world could somebody do that? My experience with Down syndrome kids, if you will, people, is that they're the happiest people in the world. I've often said that if there had to be anything abnormal about my children, that I would have wished that it could have been Down syndrome. I've never yet met an unhappy, what appears to be an unhappy individual with Down syndrome. Jennifer, are you back?
I'm back.
Okay, we're sorry about that. We're not sure what happened, but we're glad you're back, and you weren't able to hear what I was saying while we were trying to retrieve you. But basically, I was saying I can't believe somebody would abort an infant or a fetus just because they knew that they might be Down syndrome or would be Down syndrome because of how happy and caring and wonderful these individuals seem to be.
I will tell you that individuals with Down syndrome are as varied in personality types and intellectually as is the general population. I will say, though, that individuals with Down syndrome they have a very positive outlook to life. And I will tell you, and I tell this to every new parent that I counsel, is that had I known at the time that Julia was born what I know today, I would have never shed a tear. I would have jumped for joy. And the reason I say that is because she has taught me more about what's important in life than I will ever be able to teach her.
Yeah, I understand that. We do have to go to a break.
Okay.
You come back, we're going to continue this conversation. You're listening to Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 here with Dr. Kvitko, and we will be back right after the break.
Let's see. You make me smile, please stay for a while now. Just take your time.
Talk 1230 WYTS. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry But Were Too Numb to Ask. Today we're talking about dental considerations for an individual who happens to have Down syndrome. And we have a guest on the phone with us. Her name is Jennifer Truby. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about just what is Down syndrome. And Jennifer, welcome back. Thank you for staying with us.
You're welcome.
And you had mentioned that it was the an extra third number 21 chromosome, which also makes the disease or the process known as trisomy 21 for those people that have heard that term.
Right.
Down syndrome comes from the fact that it was discovered by Langdon Down. Do you remember what year that was?
Do you know what? I told you I would find that out, and I did not.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
I apologize.
No, no problem.
It was within the 20th century.
If I knew, I would have just said so. I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
I think it was in the 50s.
But it was Langdon Down, not
yep.
Langdon Downs. So it's Down.
Actually, Langdon Down.
Correct. Not Langdon
yep.
Downs. So it's
That's correct.
Down syndrome, not Downs syndrome, as it's commonly mischaracterized, correct?
That's correct. Thank you for pointing that out.
So we want to get that correct. Would you be able for our guests to explain to somebody who doesn't know what Down syndrome is, or doesn't know if they have someone sitting next to them or not that has it? What's the characteristic appearance of someone who happens to have Down syndrome?
Okay. Well, first of all, I will tell you that not every individual with Down syndrome has any or all of the physical characteristics. But I will say that there are some physical features that are noticeable, one of which is a flattening of the back of the head,
yes.
The slanting of eyelids. There, in some individuals, they might have a small skin fold at the inner corner of their eye. Some have a depressed nasal bridge.
Right.
Others have a slightly smaller ears and a small mouth. And let me say, because we talked about this off the air, that some people feel or it appears as if an individual with Down syndrome has a larger tongue. However,
that
it's
was
not
me that said
the tongue
that.
That's large. It's the smaller oral cavity
yes.
that makes the tongue appear larger. Going on with those physical characteristics, there in some individuals they have decreased muscle tone, looser ligaments, and smaller hands and feet. About 50% of the children of individuals with Down syndrome will have, if you look at your palm, you'll notice that you have many creases. But about 50% of the individuals with Down syndrome, there is one line that goes across the palm, and that is another aspect.
Is it
and
an addition or
there
only?
There is a gap between the first and second toes.
Is it?
And
I'm sorry, that line, is it just one line instead of the several, or is it one more
yep.
line than you and
it's
I?
It's just one line.
Oh. Well, that's pretty neat to know.
Yes. And when a pediatrician comes in to do a check of a newborn baby who is suspected of Down syndrome, those characteristics that I mentioned are what they're looking for. And,
now,
of course, I will say that with those characteristics, it's not an absolute diagnosis. What they have to do is called a karyotype.
Right.
And that's where they draw blood and they work up all of the chromosomes. And that is when they can be absolutely sure, because you will see that third chromosome on the 21st pair.
And when I was in undergraduate school at the Case Western Reserve University, one of our undergraduate labs, that was an exercise that we did, which was to create our own karyotypes by a swab from the cheek.
How fun.
It was pretty neat. Pretty neat to see your own chromosomes.
Yes.
While we were at break, there were a few people that called in guesses to the question of the day, which is, what is the range of periodontal disease, the incidence of periodontal disease in people who happen to have Down syndrome? And we have guesses where, let's see, Kenny called in a guess of between 20 and 25%. Thanks, Kenny, for that, but that's not correct. Sarah called in a guess between 42 and 46, and that's not correct either. And Lisa called in a guess of between 39 and 44%. None of those are correct, so keep your guesses coming, and we will certainly be giving out the answer. Now, you mentioned, when you were talking about a large tongue, and Jennifer, in fact, it was me that said that one of the characteristics was that people that happen to have Down syndrome have a larger tongue, and you have since corrected me, and I've since read some literature. And so I know that's correct, but for dentists out there listening, obviously, to us, it doesn't really make that big of a difference as to whether it's a large tongue or a small mouth. It's still a tongue that's bigger than there's room for. And so that happens to then create an issue in some patients with gagging or the fear that they might gag, room to work on teeth, because we have to obviously have their tongue out of the way to do what we do. And, you know, the purpose of today's show is to try to enlighten some of the families of individuals who happen to have Down syndrome, as well as dentists and dental offices about how to care for these individuals and what amounts to the notion that they're really not all that different from the general population.
And, that's correct.
And in fact, I have, you know, in reading it, basically the push is to make sure that these people are primarily treated in a general dental office setting. There's no need to send them to a specialist, especially if they begin their treatment and their relationship with their dentist at an early age. Now, we do have to go to a break again. I apologize for that, but as you know, that's what pays the bills, and this is probably the only thing that hasn't gone up in the last 3 months as far as cost of everything out there, including gas and food. So we're going to go to a break. You're listening to Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230, everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. We will be right back. Talk 1230 WYTS. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Good morning. I'm Dr. Brian Kvitko, a general dentist here in Central Ohio. And today we're talking about dental considerations for people who happen to have Down syndrome. And our guest on the phone with us today is Jennifer Truby, who is the chairman of the board of the Ohio Central Ohio Down Syndrome Association. Jennifer, did I say that right?
You said it correct.
Okay, and before I forget, would you do me a favor and tell our listeners when the Buddy Walk is this year and where?
I'd be glad to tell. Our Buddy Walk is going to be Sunday, September 28th. It's going to be held at Crew Stadium. Registration will begin at 8 o'clock. It's going to be an open walk this year, different than in walks in the past. In the past, we all began our walk at 11 o'clock. But just to alleviate a lot of the traffic and the buildup of the line, we've decided this year to have an open walk, which means anybody can walk with their family and friends with Down syndrome from 10 o'clock in the morning through 1 o'clock.
I see. Well, that's helpful because I'll be doing this radio show from 9 to 10, so I don't think I would be able to be there until I guess, after. Yeah.
Right.
So that means I won't miss it, right?
That's right, and that's great. We want you to be there.
Well, that was nice of you to change it just for me.
Yes, well, you're welcome.
Now, that reminds me, as I picture the walks that we've done, and we did one at Franklin Park Conservatory, which was beautiful, Crew Stadium last year. It reminds me of a TV commercial that I saw, and we were talking about this the other day, and I think at the end it said livethelife.org. I'm pretty sure that's what it said. And it was what looked to be a Special Olympics track meet, a running race. And it had these kids who all happened to have Down syndrome, it appeared. And they started this race, and one of the participants fell about halfway down. And the runners were still running, and then one of them happened to notice that he had fallen. And they all stopped, and they came back, and they helped him up, and they locked arms, arm in arm, and walked across the finish line together so that there were no winners and no losers. And I was just touched by that. It's pretty much the way people who happen to have Down syndrome are, aren't they?
Well, I will stress that they are individuals, but I would say they form very tight relationships with their friends, and it does not surprise me that that occurred.
Yeah, I mean, it was just very, very uplifting. I probably need to give out a little more information about the dental connection or the kinds of things that we want dentists to know and families of individuals that happen to have Down syndrome. One is that about 50% of people that have Down syndrome also have what's called mitral valve prolapse, and that is in the absence of what's called oscillatory findings, meaning you can't hear it by just listening to their heart. Therefore, an echocardiogram would be required for even the physician to know that this individual had that. Now, families need to know this so that they can ask their physician if maybe an echocardiogram might not be indicated. And, of course, physicians probably already know it, but if they're listening, wouldn't be a bad thing to have reminded. The other is people that happen to have Down syndrome happen to have reduced muscle tone. I think you mentioned that. And that's also in the lips and cheeks. And it also then contributes to different chewing forces in people that happen to have Down syndrome, which can put extra stress on the teeth. And for those dentists that are listening, dental students, these folks tend to have a class 3 occlusion. Now, for those of you just in general that don't know what class 3 is, dentistry has separated occlusion class, or the way our bite comes together, our top and our lower teeth, into 3 classes, 1, 2, and 3. 1 is considered normal, and that's basically where the bottom teeth kind of tuck up beneath the lower teeth. Class 3 would be something you might think of as an oriental, where their lower teeth are far forward. And class 2 would be what is often referred to as an Andy Gump type look, where the person maybe has no chin or a weak chin if you look at them from the side, where the lower teeth are further back. And so folks that happen to have Down syndrome would tend to have then the class 3 or the more prominent chin, where the lower teeth are more forward. All right. That's just a little information. Now, some folks have this increase in mobility at their cervical vertebrae, which can also then cause them to be a little bit unstable, and you have to be careful when you position them in the dental chair to avoid potential harm to the spinal cord. But this is only in about 10 or 20% of individuals. So just some things for the dentist population to be aware of. We talked before the break about how you need to bring individuals that happen to have Down syndrome to the dentist at an early age, just like a regular any other child, and that establishes a relationship. And, you know, basically don't plan on getting a lot done. We never do anyway at a child's first visit. We want it to be more get acquainted. We call it a get acquainted appointment, actually. And so we have to be aware that it may take a little longer because children who happen to have Down syndrome have a little bit of a delay in their verbal skills. They understand, but they can't verbalize. Is that what you understand, Jennifer?
That's right. Their receptive, or what they hear, is much more developed than their verbal. And it's mainly because of the low muscle tone and the delay in speech.
Right. And it probably will take just a little bit longer in the office for a visit for an individual that happens to have Down syndrome. And I think that that's important for dentists to know, because we'll need, as a practitioner, we just need to schedule a little more time. It's not the end of the world. Getting a person through a visit, any person through a visit to me, if we can do it comfortably and pleasant, it's worth the extra time.
And I might also add that I think it's helpful if you bring your young child with you when you have your dental visit, just to give them an idea of what happens. Maybe not once, but several times. And then there's also wonderful books in the library about going to the dentist, and just reading those ahead of time helps prepare.
All right, that's a good suggestion. It is time for us to go to a break again. Before I do, I want people to know that this show is available by podcast at www.talk1230wyts.com. And once you've gone there, you click on the On Air. That'll take you to a choice of On Air personality. Choose Dr. Kvitko, takes you to my page, and then you, in the middle it'll say click on podcast page, and once you do, you can then choose whichever date show you'd like to hear. You're listening to Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 WYTS. I'm Dr. Kvitko, and we will be right back.
Just to see you smile, I'd do anything.
Talk 1230 WYTS. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. We're back after the break here. And before I get back to my guest, who's holding, I'd like to give out a few guesses that came in during those last couple breaks. And we had a call from Susie in Dublin, who is guessing 10 to 15% of people who happen to have Down syndrome have periodontal disease. That's a little low. Terry from Bexley called in a guess of 51 to 56%. And that's also low. Carol from Worthington called in 69 to 74%, getting warmer. Still not correct, though. And before we get back to Jennifer Truby, I'd like to mention again, please tune in June 11th at 7:30 in the evening on Time Warner Channel 15, which is WUAB. Boy, I can't say my W's today. June 11th, WUAB, Time Warner Channel 15 at 7:30 in the evening. I'll be on Showcase Columbus with Gail Hogan. And also, Please call the office at 262-9588 and sign up to be a part of our second annual Dr. Kvitko Golf Classic Broadview Golf Course in Pataskala, August 23rd at 8 in the morning. And it's mostly just to have fun and to raise money. You don't have to be a great golfer. You know, I'm not that great. I just have fun, enjoy nature. So, okay, back to our topic, which is dental considerations for individuals who happen to have Down syndrome. And we have Jennifer Truby on the line with us, and she is the director of the Central Ohio Down Syndrome Association. And Jennifer, one of the things I wanted to talk about was how children or individuals who happen to have Down syndrome, they also happen to be born missing some teeth. They have undersized teeth, undersized roots. They happen to tend to be mouth breathers, which can lead to decay, although for whatever reason tend not to have a higher incidence of decay like you'd think. But I think that if I can just get you to tell the story a little bit about your daughter Julia, that would also answer a few questions that people might have in their mind.
Okay, I'd be glad to. First of all, I would say that most every child with Down syndrome has a late onset of teeth eruption. My daughter, and also the secondly, that they come in out of order. And by saying that, my daughter got her first tooth at 14 months, and it was a molar.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes, and I found that out by putting, I thought she had something in her mouth that I needed to get out, and she bit me. So
that'll teach you.
So
see, now you know what I face every day, right?
Yes. But anyway, my daughter was a bit more unusual in the fact that she was missing the four bottom baby incisors.
Completely all four missing?
Pardon me?
All four of them completely missing?
All four of them completely missing.
Okay.
And early on, and we began her dental health care at 2 years of age, we did an x-ray, and there were none.
Okay.
And we were told that there may or may not have, she may or may not get adult teeth, and there apparently is something, if you have baby teeth, it causes a reaction where the adult teeth, once they come out, the adult teeth know to come in.
Yes.
Since there were none, they didn't even know if these adult teeth would erupt. But anyway, she did receive two adult teeth where the four baby teeth should be in, and it is thought that they are lateral incisors, not central incisors.
Okay.
The other thing that is a bit unusual is that even though teeth eruption are later, losing the baby teeth seem to be on schedule. And for many families with Down syndrome, it's a surprise because they expect the baby teeth to stay in longer, but they don't. And for the most part, for my daughter, they've come out in sequence.
Okay.
Now, with my daughter, it seems to take longer for the baby teeth to become loose and fall out. I don't know why it is with her, and I really don't know if that's true of the general population. My daughter is 13, and she has been seeing an orthodontist. However, she did not tolerate the palatal expander. And when I say palatal expander, she had the type of expander that actually fit on the top of her mouth.
And stayed in all the time?
Yes.
Like, was it a plastic, a plastic palate?
Yes.
Okay.
And she just really could not get the swallowing down. So we had to take that out. But she has tolerated braces.
Good, good. That's great. And, of course, a lot of individuals that happen to have Down syndrome are going to need braces because of that. And so it's good for the orthodontist to know that, and the parents that have these children, to know that it is possible. And, in fact, every aspect of dental care should be made available to individuals with Down syndrome, including cosmetic dentistry.
Exactly. In fact, my daughter, and again, I'm not going to be able to tell you the medical term, but the piece of skin that is between the two
central
incisors on top, she had to have that cut some.
That is actually called the maxillary labial frenum.
That's it.
Thanks for asking easy questions today. Anyway, unfortunately, we have one more break, so we need to interrupt here just for a second, and then when we come back after this break, we can continue the discussion. I hope you can hold with us. Can you stay?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you very much. You're listening to Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230, WYTS. here with Dr. Kvitko, and we will be right back. Talk 1230 WYTS. This is Dr. Kvitko, and you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry but were too numb to ask. Good morning. Today we're talking about dental considerations for individuals who happen to have Down syndrome. And our guest today is Jennifer Truby, who is the chairman of the board of the Central Ohio Down Syndrome Association. I think I actually said that backwards. It's the Down Syndrome
Association. Actually, you said it right.
Oh, I did? I got it right?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Good. Now, before we get too far, Jennifer, I want to talk a little bit about periodontal disease and people who happen to have Down syndrome, because that is our question of the day, and it will help me then be able to give out the answer. And,
okay.
And then after that, though, I want to get from you any final thoughts, anything you want people to know before we run out of time. I don't want to run out of time in the middle of you speaking. Okay. Basically, early severe periodontal disease is often seen with the onset in the mid to late teen years in people who happen to have Down syndrome. Now, in fact, the answer to our question is it's between 90 and 96% of adults with Down syndrome have periodontal disease. That's very, very high. And for dentists out there, you should know that it does not have, I won't say anything to do, basically the amount of plaque and calculus seen on the teeth is not proportionate to the severity of the disease. So what that's saying is it's not that they have bad oral hygiene, although in some cases they do, but even with good oral hygiene, these people are going to need to be seen every 3 months for scaling and root planing. Also would benefit from the use of chlorhexidine mouth rinse, which happens to be known as Paradex, the brand name, and possibly even systemic antibiotic therapy. So I guess we shouldn't be too quick to just say that it's because they don't brush or floss that they have this periodontal disease. It's actually thought to be related to a lowered host immune response due to the compromised immune system in Down's syndrome. So that's, I think, good information for dentists and parents alike to know. So before I use up all of the available time here, go ahead and just give me a final thought, if you will, Jennifer. I mean, what is it that we've missed? What would you like people to know? And, you know, anything like that.
Well, I think we've covered it quite well. I would encourage all families to have regular dental checkups with all their children, regardless if their child has Down syndrome or not. Make it a fun experience brushing teeth. I remember when my daughter didn't have teeth, that we'd just let her chew on a toothbrush, and just getting her used to having it in her mouth.
That's a very excellent suggestion.
And being able to, just manipulate it, and having her with us when we brush her teeth. Individuals with Down syndrome are visual learners, so the more you can show versus tell, it's a much better way to teach. And I will say that even though my daughter has had some dental issues throughout the years, early on she wasn't excited about seeing the dentist, but now she goes regularly, sits in the chair, chats with her dentist, and she understands that it's important to do.
Good. That's great. And also, I think it's important that people know that this can take place in a regular general practitioner's office with either minor adaptations or none at all, meaning don't put the chair back quite as far. Although this population does have some unique dental needs, few patients require special facilities. And,
one thing I will mention that was helpful to my daughter, and I'm sure other dentists do it, but I will just mention it quickly. In the beginning, she found it much more comforting if she sat on my lap.
Uh-huh, yeah.
When she had her dental work done.
Yeah, and we do that also for youngsters, and it makes them feel so much better. We are just about running up against the break here, the top of the hour, so we're going to have to wrap it up. Jennifer, I really, really appreciate you coming on the air with me today. Thank you so much. And hopefully we got some good information out there. And
if I can just say real quickly, if you want to visit our website, it's www.dsaco.net.
Thank you very much. You're listening
Love
to Dentally.
Families.
I'm sorry. You're listening to Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 here on WYTS.